This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning and welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. I wanted to talk today about, you know, truth and fiction. Obamacare has been rolled out, and now they've gone full circle where they're telling us how, not only how fabulous it is, but how lucky we are that they've passed this bill. It's like an alternate universe almost. And what I've learned in the past week since I was away last week, and it's become really obvious that we've talked about the two-tier system, but it's already here. And it is, I don't say it's alive and well in a good way, but if you end up in the ER or if you end up in the hospital, I'm starting to worry for the safety of patients, to tell you the truth. And it's everything that the hospitals thought was going to happen when they signed up for Obamacare, it's not coming to pass. It's very interesting. Because the Medicare reimbursement rates have dropped for the hospitals, everything that they set up in the past 4 years is now coming home to roost. So we've seen hospitals, as we talked about before, join together to become big systems where they've Pac-Maned or put out of business any competition. They've been very aggressive about buying doctor practices by promising the moon, and when you actually get in there, it's like a roach motel. So doctors are finding that they are not only employees, but they're subordinates to the hospital. So whatever the hospital guidelines are, they have to do what they're told, or they run the risk of being removed by peer review. But I don't know, Dave, have you noticed in Atlanta that the major systems in the hospitals have actually, they've been very aggressive about build-outs, about, you know, just by building new physical plants. That's a lot of money that's been put into this system. Have you noticed that?
You know, it's funny that you mention it, and as they not only building out, but they're also doing a lot of this satellite thing of
exactly
where they'll build a very fancy building and have a satellite, which is sort of reminiscent, or I say reminiscent, that's the wrong term, but I look at Piedmont Hospital that was always down on Peachtree. I mean, that was that was their place. You would even get directions according to Piedmont Hospital, and now they have a big presence in the North Atlanta area, and they have their big cardiology satellite operation. So it's, and just like you said, that cost a lot of money.
It cost a ton of money. And now, what they said this at the beginning of this fiasco, is that the players that joined together to craft this bill saw this as a money-making venture where they were promised that 30 million people would enter the system, they would be trapped in it, and they would have to use these services. They would have to go to the hospitals because, you know, the money was going to be, you know, pushed towards Medicaid and Medicare. They were going to have to start using the hospital-based doctors because they were summarily putting private practice physicians out of business. I read a statistic, and I'm going to paraphrase because the numbers are estimate for me right now, but basically 60% of doctors initially, well, about maybe 10 years ago, were in solo practice, in private practice. Now 60% are employees of hospitals. That's a tragic figure. And what that means is that access to physicians, to quality physicians, where you can get an appointment quickly, where you can have a doctor that's independent and will work with you, is rapidly disappearing. But now I'm seeing, you know, the swing of this. Now, we're talking now about promises made and promises that are not going to be kept. And the doctors will promise you can come in, we'll take care of all your malpractice, You'll get a salary. You could just practice medicine and not worry about anything. Well, that's not true anymore. So now doctors have to worry about practicing algorithms, making sure that they document for case management, that they are actually admitting patients the right way. Otherwise, Medicare will not pay for it, and the hospital takes the hit. I mean, that's what they're worried about. Now they're not only are you being, you know, watched, or I should say, not only do you have the pressure of keeping your practice open like it was in the past, you don't have it anymore. Now you have to keep the hospital afloat. Trust me, there's a different set of rules, regulations, pressure on a doctor and a nurse, for that matter, when you're talking about a multi-billion dollar organization. This is what we're talking about now. So we've gone from everybody telling us, all the progressives, that bigger is better, that you should cede your power, your individuality, to the monolithic government, and it'll take care of you because it loves you. It's not happening. It's never going to happen. What you end up being is a cog in a wheel, and you end up being grist for the mill, quite frankly, and it will grind you down to keep it going. And this is life we're talking about. This is not financial issues. This is not education. This is life and death. It's just as important as everything else. But as I've said in the past, you only have two things. You've got your health, maybe three things, your health, your family, and God. And once you lose your health, you can't really exist past that. How do you keep a job? How do you run your family? How do you actually, you know, become a viable member of society when all you're focused on is making sure you can get your medication, making sure that you're well enough, able enough to get to your job, I mean, or school? I mean, this is survival now that they're putting us in, a survival mode. And I think people are finally waking up to the fact, I hope it's not too late, but those who decide that they want to take their own health into their own hands are going to have the upper hand in this system.
Dr. Georgia, you addressed part of it, but you know what I see too, and I don't know where it's going to go. I've personally seen it, and you see it day in and day out with all these regulations and all of the stuff that's going on, and the AMA being involved with the coding. And what I'm seeing is that everybody, you know, the doctor does the best they can, and they code something. And you can't get your toenail looked at without getting prior approval. So the insurance approves it, and then you go in for the procedure or whatever, and they're playing games with the coding, and then the insurance company rejects it, and well, they didn't code it right, and they didn't do this, and somebody didn't do that. You know, if you've approved it, then you should be responsible for it. You shouldn't be able to play the games that the insurance companies are playing. We look at the statements that the hospitals send out that are just absolutely deplorable and just crazy, and expect the patient to pay it, or they demand the patient pay it when the insurance company should pay it. We've got a medical disaster and a medical war going on that, like you said, people are finally very slowly beginning to wake up to, but not enough of, in my opinion, have awakened yet.
Well, it's what you described with the hospital billing is complete fiction. They make stuff up. They can't tell you where the costs really come from. We've discussed this before. They can't. If you ask them to itemize, they have to itemize if you ask them to do so. But they end up throwing out thousands of dollars in charges because they can't prove that they're actually valid charges. But nobody questions them. I mean, this is a whole system where they are allowed to just run roughshod over patients, over doctors. And now the government's going to bring them to heel, and it's not going to be a pretty sight when the hospitals have to somehow. And, you know, we're seeing them do this. They are cutting back their staff. They are closing some of these annexed facilities. The services are decreasing. So for us, for example, there used to be a hospital in Atlanta that did speech therapy. So if someone has vocal cord surgery or somebody has, you know, chronic hoarseness, we used to be able to send them to a top-notch facility to get physical therapy for their voice. They closed it because it wasn't making enough money. So now you have hospitals that don't provide some basic services because they're literally concentrating their services because it's about cost control for them. It was a free-for-all. They were getting money from everywhere. They were whining to the government that they weren't getting paid for people without insurance when they have access to a government pot that the government paid them to see people without insurance. So they're lying to people about how poor they are. And I think everybody should have known something was up when they whined about how poor they were, how horrible it was, how they couldn't stand to have competition from private physician or freestanding surgery centers because it would put them out of business on one hand, while they were building multi-million dollar facilities. And one of the ORs I used to go to had 50 flat screen TVs in their ORs. I mean, it was just incredible amount of money that they were just using to make themselves gorgeous, but it had nothing to do with patient care. So what they're doing now, I talked about part of what their cuts are, that's services. The other part is the brain trust of the hospital. Here in Atlanta, one of the hospitals are basically cutting a lot of their senior nursing staff, RNs, nurses that are providers of frontline care, and they're downsizing, or I don't want to say dumbing down, but I would say people with less experience, less training, are now taking the forefront of the nursing aspect of healthcare in the hospitals. So not only do you have more physician assistants, more foreign-trained doctors in the system, now you have nurses with very little one-on-one patient experience. What kind of system is that? I mean, just think about this for 2 seconds. When you're in there, and people who end up in the hospital now are by all rights sicker than they were in the past, who is taking care of you? And if you can finally get a doctor, can you understand what they're saying? And the doctors that, I'm not saying anything about the training of the doctors, okay, let's be clear. However, if you have a doctor that's on a shift, whose shift is 12 hours, let's say, and you're coming in on hour 11.5, and they're about to sign out to the next physician, after they've been there for 11 hours, they want to get out of there. They're not interested necessarily. They're human. So what kind of handoff are you going to get? What kind of attention to detail when you have someone who's exhausted? What kind of continuity of care can you possibly get when you have someone who's just coming on to shift, who wasn't there from the beginning, who doesn't know the ins and outs, who just got a nice little blurb, a little synopsis of what your problem is? You know, there's consequences for all these cuts. There's consequences for quality of care. When I was a resident, we were on call 24 hours, and your day ended after you finished your work the next day. You did not leave at 8 in the morning. You might leave at 3 in the afternoon when all of your stuff was done. When your patient was stable, as we call it, tucked away, and there was an actual, a real handoff. Not a, it's 501, I got to go. Go to the ER. I mean, all these calls that you call your doctor. If it's an emergency, call 911. 501, you're being sent to the ER for care. You're not talking to your physician anymore. This is what patients have, they bought this on themselves just as much as doctors have because they wanted something for free. They wanted to have medicine called in. I think we all need to take responsibility at this point for the system that we're in. As doctors and patients, allowed the system to flourish. Now both of us are reaping what the system is sowing. It's a bad situation. And there is an action. I mean, there's action that we all can take. One is to stop paying into the system. Every single city in this country has freestanding surgery centers, freestanding urgent cares. And I'm not talking about the chains. That's another money-making scheme going up to CVS and all these doc-in-the-boxes, as they're called. They're not even staffed by doctors. And I'm sorry, but I have a problem with an urgent care tacked onto a pharmacy where it's like a conveyor belt of writing a prescription and having you go and fill it in their pharmacy. Come on, you have to think about who stands to gain, and you have to start thinking about conflict of interest. That's the key, I think, at this point.
Dr. George, on that note, let's let people think about it, and we'll take a first break and be back right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that allergy season in Georgia is year-round? Beginning in July through November, ragweed is the predominant pollen, but February through May, tree pollen causes allergy symptoms. Grass pollen occurs from mid-May through the beginning of July. If you suffer from daily nasal congestion, sneezing, runny nose, headache, ear clogging, or popping, or a chronic cough, these symptoms may be due to allergy and not infection. You should also think of allergies if there is no fever, chills, or colored mucus. Treatment should include nasal salt water sprays over the counter or antihistamines that do not cause drowsiness. If you have persistent headaches, a decrease in your sense of smell, or nosebleeds, you should see an ear, nose, and throat physician. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Before the break, we were talking about the hospitals and basically quality of care and how it's all about PR now. It's not about actual, you know, reality. And anybody who has been through the hospital system or has been to a doctor's office that's affiliated with the hospitals, I think can figure out that there's kind of a difference, a big difference, between what it used to be like and what it is now. The fact that your doctors now, if they are part of the hospital system, their fiduciary responsibility is no longer to their practice, to their individualized, you know, freestanding practice. It's all about being part of the team and making money for the hospital. And this is, it's kind of ingenious the way they did this. It was a psychological shift over the last 10 years from doctors being independent professionals to being providers to being part of a healthcare delivery team. So what they've done psychologically to doctors, and I think patients have, you know, also jumped on the bandwagon because of the pressure put upon the system to believe that everybody's equal, that the physician assistant is just knows just as much as your surgeon and your doctor, and they should lead your healthcare team, and you shouldn't question anything. And if you do question something, then there's something wrong with you. And it's not like you're a party to your healthcare at this point. They just want you to do what you're told. So for example, the parents who question vaccinations, which are perfectly reasonable things to question, are either thrown out of practices, or if they're really unlucky, they have defects called on them. So it's become a healthcare industrial complex where the doctors are now, it's not about patient care, it's about pushing procedures if you're in the ER. Hospitals have been caught up on that, where they were doing unnecessary cardiac workups and unnecessary CAT scans in some of these, you know, corporate-driven hospital systems. We've had, you know, I've read about families actually losing their children because they question the pediatrician about whether their child should be vaccinated. We've got doctors who are actually arrested at this point for making a mistake on a dictation. I mean, this is a system that's The IRS is involved with it. The FBI is involved with it. There is consequences now for being an advocate for your patient a lot of times. And it will only get worse unless doctors and patients stand up. And it's, that's not medicine at this point. It's practicing defensive to keep your, to stay out of jail, not just to keep yourself out of a malpractice court. Hello?
You know, what you say is, unfortunately, it's being seen in every aspect of our lives, beyond medicine, in economics, beyond economics in the immigration situation. Everything is being affected by the too much input by government.
Well, it's because it's designed to work this way. Yeah, we've talked about globalism before and about the UN mandates and UN-driven everything. It's on every single level of our society now, whether it's Common Core for education, whether it's Obamacare for the healthcare system, whether it's the fact that the financial system, that with all these bailouts for companies that have just played fast and loose with our money, and nobody's paying any consequences for this. Nobody's gone to jail. Nothing has changed. They just keep telling you that there's nothing to see here. Move along, or it's not what you think it is. You know, you're it's like a mass hypnosis that they're trying to pull over on us. The healthcare system is cheaper, better. You can have better access. The doctors are awesome. Obamacare rules, you know, and if you don't like it, then your conspiracy theory is something wrong with you. It doesn't even make any sense, Dave. I mean, it's just so obviously broken, obviously never going to work, obviously bankrupt, that 8 million people sign up for Obamacare, really? Most of them, if they did sign up, had insurance, lost it, and were forced into it. Another 30% never paid, and they're counting people that went on the website. Just went on it. They're counting those too. So these fake inflated numbers as if they did something. And let's just say for a second, let's give them there. Let's give them this. 8 million people signed up. There's over 300 million people in this country. How the heck is 8 million people a success? I don't get that. Do you?
No way. You know, I heard something the other day that is the epitome of the government success, period, and that's the... We never found out the amount that was spent, but the installation of solar panels on the White House had to have cost who knows what, and their effectiveness is that they can power 6 light bulbs.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, I mean, but this is throughout. It's like just like you said, 8 million out of 330 million people. No, that's not a success. That's a disastrous failure. And I guess my question is, let's say 300 million and you got 8, so best I can figure, that's still 292 million people. Where's their health care? I know what we've done, but we're not everybody else. So, you know, what's going to happen next?
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen next. After the elections, when it's like a dam that they've kept walling up. You know, they kept sticking gum in the holes of this dam. it's gonna rupture, and the people who were under paid for health care, employers are gonna drop it. It's gonna be a tsunami of people being kicked off of their health care, and the only reason that it hasn't happened yet is because the powers that be do not want to lose their position in this election. It's all about getting in again. It's all about the next election cycle. And both the Republicans and Democrats are playing chicken with our lives. You know, Democrats, I think they believe that this will work. I have to assume that. Republicans, I think they have no interest in getting rid of this. Not really. If they did, that they would have done something already. It would never have gotten to this point. I honestly believe that. And for any Republican, in my litmus test, anybody who says, we just need to tweak it, should not be voted for. There's no way to tweak this. This is a disaster on every single level, and it should be thrown out. The fact that it's ruined the healthcare system to this point, which is questionable, whether we can recover from what it's already happened to, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure how we're going to survive what they've already done to the system, but I can tell you, if they leave the foundation of this thing in place, healthcare system as we know it will be over, and I think within the next 5 years, completely dead, and we'll end up in a system just like the UK, just like Canada, just like the rest of the socialized medicine, predominant socialized medicine countries. And all we have to do is see what's happening there. This is not rocket science. It's broken. They're actually, in the UK, they've hired private consultants to run some of their national health system. They actually have more people that are joining private health insurance markets because it's so horrible, the national health system. And anybody who loves it usually isn't sick, so they never have to use it. So all the people who talk about how great it is and how cheap it is, awesome, but they're healthy. Or they've just had a baby, something that is not in, not going to involve you getting really ill, having to cost the system any real money. That's where you get into trouble. And overall, when they start touting how, you know, we're spending a lot of money and we're not getting a good outcome, it's not true. We have a better outcome on cancer, on trauma, on a ton of different aspects of our healthcare system. It's better than theirs. And that's why they used to come here. I don't know if they do it anymore, but people left their countries to come here for care. That has to say something. And we've just thrown that away by trying to be, it's just greed. This is what's driving the system, greed. The hospitals want to be the only game in town. They've super specialized, so you've got cancer centers, you've got heart centers, you've got stroke centers, orthopedic centers, because they're all in it together. But nobody's going to win this. And as soon as the doctor, and I had a doctor a couple years ago to tell me this, and I agree with her now. As soon as the hospitals get their full, their slate of doctors on their system, they've got their complement of ENTs and orthos and whoever they need, they will cut their salaries because they've got them as a captive audience. They can't go anywhere. They can't compete with them because I'm sure they have a non-compete contract that you have to leave at least a few miles from where you are practicing so you're not competition. Or those who have their practice. You know how hard it is to set up a private practice now? Nearly impossible in terms of cost. So this system is rigged to self-destruct, and what's going to be left on the field is going to be non-functional. And it's going to be driven by, you admit this person for this diagnosis within 30 days, you're not going to get paid, manage whoever you can on the out as an outpatient basis for those who are really sick. Let's talk about palliative care and hospice, and we're going to limit the amount of medications that you're going to be able to take because they're too expensive. That's reality. That's already happening. So, oh, my God, I mean, I say this in not so much in jest, but stay healthy, because if you do get sick, good luck. You know, if you're not taking responsibility for your health at this point in time, and you expect to use your Obamacare benefits to help yourself, it's not going to happen.
On that, let's take our second break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, It seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on americaswebradio.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. FollowSniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. Look, this is the bottom line. It's time for everybody with an earshot to start taking responsibility for, you know, I'm talking about health, but it's going to come down to everything in our life. And there's a really interesting gentleman, Gerald Celente. He runs Trends Journal, and I listened to him on a show about a year ago, and his prediction was that, you know, the economy is going down the tubes. A lot of things in our country aren't very good, but there is still opportunity for everybody out there. This is now, and in every aspect of our life, if we decide to choose quality, whatever that means to you, that you're going to start, you know, treating yourself like I'm worthy of not being treated like dirt. I'm going to change my job. I'm going to change my outlook. In terms of medicine, I'm going to change my doctor if I don't like my doctor or my physician assistant. Or I'm going to choose to eat better. I'm going to choose to get off these medicines, all these laundry list of medications I'm on, and start to take control over my destiny. That paradigm shift is going to bear fruit. I'm seeing that as a physician. There's now a growing number of physicians in this country. We're still small, but it's getting bigger. Where we've decided, my Hippocratic Oath is more important to me than being a victim. I want to treat patients who want to work with me, who want to be partners in their care, who want to actually fix the problem and not just be given a pill to make it easy. That shift in mentality and mindset is now bearing fruit. And in my opinion, that benefits everybody because now there is an alternative. Instead of having to be stuck in the accountable care organizations or being stuck in a position where, you know, you're on so many medicines you can't even afford the next month's dose of medication, now you actually have a choice to take a step back. Take a hard look at yourself. I mean, every single physician that I know had to take a look and realize either I'm going to drive my practice in fear of audits, fear of poor reimbursements, fear of not being able to afford my malpractice, fear of not having a patient come to me because if I drop insurances, I might lose my patients. Once you take a step out of that box, it is so empowering. So liberating that it actually, I think it pervades the rest of your life, quite frankly. And if you're not beholden to somebody's, you know, their beneficence, and you take control over your own destiny, it's absolutely awesome. And that means, from a patient perspective, take a look at your insurance company. Is it worth you paying $300 or $400 a month, and paying $600 or $700 if you're lucky, over up to $10,000 out of pocket, just to say you have an insurance card. Is it worth it to you? Does it mean if you've now entered the Obamacare system and you've lost your doctor, that are you stuck in that system? Can you get out? I mean, are you unhappy with it? Then you need to make a change. If you've gone to a physician and they didn't listen to you, or you've never met them, and all you do is get stuff called in for you, but you're still not better, and they don't really want to see you in their office, and when they do see you, they don't spend any time with you, start voting with your pocketbook. You know, this is how you take your power back. If you're unhappy with the way, you know, the Congress is operating and how the government is operating, you know, withdraw your consent. Stop just going along. And not doing something is just as, you know, you're just as liable for what's going on as being involved with it and being happy about it. Let me put that a different way. Just because you don't do anything or you don't say anything doesn't mean you're not perpetuating the problem. You have to vote with something, your pocketbook, your voice, your feet. You have to do something at this point. If you sit there and do nothing, expect somebody else to take up the fight for you, it's not going to happen, and we're going to continue to go down this path of status quo. I applaud every single physician who realized that they're not doing this anymore, and this is not what you signed up for. This is not what you spent 6 years, 10 years in some cases of training for. You didn't sign up for someone to tell you to mark somebody's left or right tonsil because you're too stupid to know which one you're going to take out, or that your services are not worth it, that what you do is unworthy. And for you to ask for money, you should be ashamed of yourself. You didn't sign up for a system like that. You didn't. You know, you're not helping your patients by becoming part of this machine. You're actually going to work against them. Anybody who can figure this out is going to win this game. And the more of us that opt out of the system, we empower those people who, for whatever reason, need to see a different path and need to see that it's working before they take the leap out of the system. So I'm all for people who want to be a pioneer, patient and doctor.
Yeah, you know, something good has come out of this. And again, it's basic capitalism where doctors... like Dr. Smith out in Oklahoma, Dr. Gross down in Florida, have come out and said, I can beat the system. And they are beating the system. And they're offering services. You know, it's sort of like some group of doctors ought to come out and name their practice the good old days. But this is what they're doing. They're bringing back medicine as it was practiced back in the 40s and 50s.
But what's the most important thing to know is not only is it clinically like it was in the old days and better, but it's cheaper. I mean, what other system can you actually enter where you get quality, you get access, you get customer service, and you pay less for it? I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this is a PR blitz that we're under. We're being mind-controlled to think that if you have health insurance, that equals access. If you have health insurance, that equals quality. If you have health insurance, that equals cost-effectiveness. It doesn't equal any of those things. It equals long waits, pay for something that you're not really, that's not worth what you're getting, it's overpriced, and as it moves along, you're going to start paying for less quality, and your outcomes are going to be worse. I'll give you another example. Yesterday, I had a patient that came to me with a huge polyp, so large that it was coming out, I'm sorry to be graphic, but coming out of his nose. And he had this diagnosis for 2 years, was seen at, you know, emergency rooms in the city. It will remain nameless. Big academic centers, was actually biopsied, and they never followed up with him. He said, I called multiple times. I couldn't get anybody. I didn't know what the diagnosis was, so I just gave up. And now 2 years later, he's in much worse situation. His sense of smell is gone, nosebleeds constantly. His quality of life is completely affected, and he's so desperate that he decided, I'm going to go private. I'm going to see a doctor who who's going to spend time with me, who's going to take the time to figure out what the problem is, and I don't care how much it costs. Now, the reality is my visit was less than him going to an ER, so he got better care, and he spent less money, and I actually spent time with the man. I mean, this is, I'll give you another, the same patient, as we were having our intake, he couldn't hear me. He kept saying, huh, and what? I mean, he's a young guy, so I know he doesn't have hearing loss. Turns out he had earwax, just totally just jam-packed. And he said, well, I went to the ER, and they, you know, I got my ears washed out. And I said, well, could you hear after it was done? He said, no, it was worse. So, I mean, the point was that they didn't spend any time with the guy, didn't fix him. I'm sure they charged him. And this is the level of care that's out there. These are major academic institutions in the city of Atlanta, a huge city. You can imagine what it's like when it's rural or when it's not, you know, a top 10 city. What kind of care are you getting? We're supposed to be giving state-of-the-art standard of care. And because he had no insurance, you know, that's a possibility. They didn't want to spend the time with him because it wasn't going to cost. They weren't going to get paid for what they did. Or the flip side, they're so overwhelmed that they didn't have time to spend with him. Whatever the answer is, he got substandard care. And now it's 2 years later, and his quality of life is it's changed. And now he has to have surgery in order to fix it. And maybe this didn't have to come to this if someone had gave a damn in these systems. And this is what it comes down to. You need somebody who's going to be your advocate. You need someone who's going to look at you and go, put yourself in the patient's place and say, if it were me, I wouldn't want to be treated like this. I wouldn't treat my loved one like this. And my standard is if a cat or dog is not treated this badly, there is something wrong with that system. And this is the level of care that we're going to. It's dropping to this level. It's not like it's equal. It's not on par anymore. So you're going to be paying tons of money for someone who's least experienced, who's under duress, who's under the gun to get you in, get you out, code properly, you know, do the electronic medical record in a timely way, make sure it's electronically signed, and not care about taking earwax out of you or following up with a biopsy. It's unconscionable. That's the only way I can put it.
You know, Dr. George, we're going to have to take a break, our final break here shortly, but one quick question, and this is something that I love with Keith Smith's operation in Oklahoma, and I'm sure Dr. Gross is the same way, and I know you're the same way. Many of us have experienced something that has become a new phenomenon, and that's, you know, a year after you think everything's said and done, either the hospital or a doctor will come back and say, well, your insurance wound up not paying me, so you owe the difference, or you owe this, or you owe that. And I can't imagine Dr. Smith doing that in Oklahoma. I can't imagine you ever doing it. I can't imagine, you know, any of the doctors that have seen the light and gotten out of the box and are doing their own thing now. And yet this is a money-making thing for hospitals and for some practices.
This happens every day. It's gotten to the point now that the insurance companies are just straight out lying to people. They're lying to their customers, and they're just wholesale demonizing the doctor. We call on all of. I do still accept insurance, and we call for pre-certification on everybody that walks in our door. We're just told lies now. Oh, the patient has met their deductible. They don't have any out of pocket. Then we get the explanation of benefits back, and the patient has like a huge chunk on their out-of-pocket or their deductible because it, quote, wasn't met. And so we called, and this happened yesterday, we called the insurance company, and we had the name of the person that my office manager talked to, and we documented the person, the time, the day, and then they were said, oh, well, they probably just misspoke. They just misspoke. We did a procedure. The patient's now on the hook for a major chunk of money. Because we both believe what she told us, and now we're just like, oh, well, that's what we're dealing with. Who wants to play? It's like playing roulette. I think you have better odds in Vegas than you do now of dealing with an insurance company. This is, it's just, you can't win this system. You can't win.
How well I know. With that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call right after this.
Spring is in the air, literally. So follow Sniffles to Atlanta Center for breathing easy. Weeds, spores, grass, pollen. Airborne allergen levels are through the roof, putting your allergies into overdrive. It's time to follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
End your annual ritual of taking medication to alleviate facial pressure, facial pain, congestion, and headaches by treating the problem, not the symptom. Balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for. This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day. Follow sniffles.com.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Your severe sinus and nasal symptoms gone once and for all. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again. Call us at 404-591-9100. That's 404-591-9100.
Follow me and breathe easy.
Follow sniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that throat itching and tickling, nasal itching, eye itching, skin itching, eczema, and hives are all signs of allergy? A person suffering from allergy does not always have sneezing and a runny nose. If you have noticed that these symptoms are always present year-round, you may have allergies to what you are eating. Foods such as wheat, eggs, dairy products, and corn are present in most foods. Corn in particular is present in most processed foods and soft drinks in the form of high fructose corn syrup. Completely removing these foods from your diet for at least 2 months can, in some cases, stop the symptoms. Keeping a food diary or getting tested for food allergies is the fastest way to find out what foods are causing your symptoms. If you think you have a food allergy, it is important to see a doctor who specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of allergy. By rotating the food into the diet once every 2 weeks, allergies can be controlled and you can still eat the food.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Before the break, Dave was talking about Surgery Center of Oklahoma and how he thought that Dr. Smith would not have any hidden fees and that once you made a deal and you shook on it, it was done. And, yeah, Dave, that's how free market works. That's how self-pay works. That's how fee-for-service works. Once a deal is set, once the price is set, once you see it online, that's it. You know, there's no drama. There's no after the fact. I'm sure that if Dr. Smith is not collecting his fees up front, so it's all paid in advance, the time of service, or he has perhaps a payment arrangement, that it's, you know what you're getting. And that kind of system, if that were duplicated in every single city, every single hospital would have to watch their back and would have to stop practicing the way they're doing now, where they set a fee and tell you, oh, well, tough. If you don't like it, there's nowhere to go. That's what they're treading on. They're treading on the mindset from the patient that if this is the biggest hospital in town, it must be the best. I'll have to hawk this and sell that in order to go to this hospital because, you know, they have a beautiful building. They have all these doctors that are affiliated with it, it must be great. You know, they have a reputation. I mean, this is what they're treading on, their reputation. But I challenge anybody to really peek under the hood and look at really what's going on in the hospital. A lot of these hospitals, when you look at when they rank them as the number one center or in the country, et cetera, it's not really based on outcome necessarily all the time. It's based on how good they are at following regulations, you know, how many algorithms are associated with their standard of care. It's not based on reality. And it's a one-size-fits-all system. The more regimented, the more restrictive they are at their protocols, the higher they score generally. And I've actually been in some of these hospitals and worked at some of them, and the volume that comes through there, it's mind-numbing. get the patients in, get them out, make sure you code properly, make sure that your electronic medical record has the right diagnosis connected to the procedure. I mean, you spend all your time making sure that every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and the patients are secondary. I mean, I was out of there at 10 o'clock at night because I actually talked to the patients. I never went back. But it was one of those systems where, like, it was a boot camp. It was like being, I've never had to be that emotionally, I was never that emotionally and physically drained working anywhere, because I was working against the flow of that system. You know, I actually tried to be an advocate for the patient, and you're seeing 25 patients in an afternoon. Mm. It's just not possible. And I think most doctors, once you do this for, once you're an employee and you're doing this for a while, you might try to buck the system for a bit, but ultimately, I think you lose that battle because it's just overwhelming. And you have people who watch quality assurance. You know, that's coming into play where they audit your charts to make sure your diagnoses and your documentation are correct for the right level of coding. I mean, you know, the minutia to detail, the attention detail is so, it's arbitrary. You can step out and make a mistake and you're going to be called on the carpet for it. It's just incredible. And it's not medicine. Medicine is not designed to work that way. It's not a factory situation. There's one patient that may come in with a tonsil infection that has just the history behind it. You need to know it. You need to know everything about what's going on with the patient in order to make the proper diagnosis. It's not just a sore throat. It's not just give them penicillin and walk out the door. It's not just, you know, go to the website, Google tonsillitis, and then look at the medications you should choose, and then look up the dosing. It's not about that. That's something, you cannot have training wheels and practice medicine. You just can't do it. And maybe 9 times out of 10, you can get away with it. But 10th time, it's not going to work, and you might kill somebody. So I just, you know, I'm spending time in emergency rooms where I'm treating patients that are now emergencies, where had they actually thought about the problem in the doctor's office and not just, oh, it's a sore throat. I did a strep test. The strep test is negative. The person has a fever. They've got huge tonsils. They look sick, but the strep was negative. So obviously, there's something you need. I'm just going to let you leave and go out the door. And they're in my ER with an abscess, can barely breathe 2 days later. Happened twice to me this past week. So, I mean, ultimately, I'm seeing the outcome of conveyor belt medicine. It's no thought process going on. It's, if the test is negative, then X. If the person has, you know, this presentation, then I'm going to look it up in a book or online, and this is the answer, no matter what. This is always the, it's, oh my goodness. I mean, I don't even know what to say, except people are in major trouble if they decide that they want to get what they pay for, and they want to use this system of subsidized medicine and think that it's equal to actually getting health care. They're in for a rude awakening.
Well, I think not only are they in for a rude awakening, but their families and their family members are going to be very shocked in a very short period of time. When that member of the family isn't there any longer. The other thing on that we were talking about on the hospitals is their ability to bill after the fact and bill many months after the fact, and then come after you from, they can take your house. They're ruthless on their possibilities of what they can do. And part of the problem is we go in and they stick paper under your nose and you sign it.
Well, you're under duress when you're in there, right? So
sure.
Either you're in pain, you're unconscious. You know, something's happened that you can't read all of the fine print. But, you know, we talked about this on the show before. There are companies that can advocate for you, go in and negotiate a discounted price. And you yourself can actually just contact the financial side of the hospital, going in there, and first thing you want to demand is an itemized bill. Demand that. And if they can't produce it, you don't pay it. So you go through there and you look at every single item. And if it's double billed, if you've never had it, if they're billing you for days that you were never even there, that comes off immediately. And then the next thing you should do is say, look, I want to make a deal. I'm going to give you cash. What kind of discount can you give me? And I've heard stories of 50% off, 60% off, amazing discounts. So, I mean, you just, it just goes to show you what a house of cards their billing system is. If they can cut you a 60, 70% discount, then that's all graft, honestly. Either it's worth that amount for the service or it's not, right? So they've padded their billing. They've inflated their rates because somebody's been paying it. The government's been paying it. Some poor sucker who's been in there is paying, installments for the rest of their life is paying it, and they're just getting fat off of the fruits, off of your pain and your labor. It needs to stop. They may need to be called out for it, frankly.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. The first sign that people were beginning to pay attention didn't happen until they realized Obamacare was costing them more, and they realized that more meant right out of their pockets. Maybe this thing isn't as good as we've been told it is. And when it started affecting people's pockets, they finally started waking up a little bit that maybe we ought to check. And this is we've got to do this on everything, though.
Absolutely. And there's a major positive payoff when you do it. This is the beauty of this whole system. Once you start questioning it, once you start saying, is this really worth this? What's the real value? You can find an alternative where you really will get what you pay for and actually get quality at the same time. I mean, this is a great time to be awake because you can actually stop wasting your time, wasting your money, being treated like dirt. If you decide, I want better, I deserve better. The system is now, it's still fluid. And once enough of us make the decision to leave the grid and actually start eating properly, stop buying all these medications that they keep shoving down your throat. This is a system that's designed to make you dependent. Stop wanting someone to take care of you and handle your own business. It's empowering, it's freeing, and ultimately it will probably save your life.
Well, Dr. George, as always, it's gone very quickly, and we're at the end of our time. I want to thank you for a great show, as always, Medicine on Call, and let everybody know that Dr. Elena George is available. If you have ENT problems, ear, nose, and throat problems, give Dr. George a call. And once again, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a great day, everybody.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.